Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. Wow. Wow. Rough game for our men in Honolulu Blue. Oh, boy. So we'll get into all that here on Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We'll get into what we think of the coaching staff. Jared Goff we talk about extensively. The offensive line, wide receivers. Then we get into defense performance. Some standouts there. A lot of young pieces still doing good things. There's some Kool-Aid we can drink. And there's a lot Kool-Aid we'll need going forward as well. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog.
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything. We got it here. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back after week six of the NFL season is wrapped up in the Detroit Lions. It was a week to forget, that is for sure. A 34-11 shellacking at the hands of the Cincinnati Bengals in Detroit, no less. And the score, you know, it doesn't even reflect how bad this game went, especially in the second half. But let's get, before we get into all that, let's
Kool-Aid,
get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew. We got 4/5 of them here. But I'm Big Z. Then we got Connor.
Hey.
UJ.
Hi, everybody. The sun did rise today, so life goes on. So don't get too down.
And then Red Dog.
That's it.
And we're going to need a lot of Kool-Aid to get through this episode and potentially the rest of the season. But before even getting into next, 14.5-point underdogs we are next week against the Rams and Matt Stafford.
That seems generous.
That's road in L.A.
That's all? Just 14?
It should be like 21.5, like one of those college lines.
But let's get back to this game. And it was all around bad. Brutal. The Lions offense, scoreless through three quarters. I think that's the first
place.
Actually, the defense showed a lot of life in this game until the second half. But really, I mean, this is a story of just another horrible, porous offensive performance all around. Where do we want to start? We want to start at quarterback? Want to start with Goff?
Let's start at quarterback. Let's start with Jared.
Let's do that.
So yet again, there was another fourth down play where there was a wide open receiver in the flat, and Jared Goff fails to find him and throws it away. So throws it away, just an incomplete pass. But I feel like it's the same story over and over on these fourth down plays when we actually go for it.
Yeah.
It's kind of captures everything that's kind of going wrong right now, I feel, as well. When we hear about them not executing properly, decision making. I mean, in this game, Jared Goff threw the ball away on a fourth down. He just threw it out of bounds. He's like, nah, because he saw a penalty flag and thought he'd get another chance. But he's like, but then he didn't realize that the Bengals would just decline it and get the ball back. And he's played in the league long enough, Rud Dog. There's no excuse that he's young and building up to have that happen.
Yep.
I would agree.
He should know that in college.
Yep.
Okay.
Now he's got tape. Okay. We're seeing it. And we had some visitors in from California over the weekend, and they're Rams fans, and they, without prompting or anything, they're saying, oh my God, we're so glad Goff is gone. they were so happy. And then here we are trying to, justify it.
Rationalize it.
And boy, it's getting harder and harder. I understand that. And I'm trying too, but boy, I'll tell you what, he's got to make more plays and he's just not doing it.
Yeah.
And I'll give Campbell credit too for calling that out too. He's making him accountable. So
for sure.
Yeah.
And like we've discussed, like, yes, there's problems on the O-line. Yes, there's like a bunch of college receivers out there. That being said, though, Goff's just not passing the eye test. Like, there's certain intangibles you look for, and he's not making the basic plays. He looks down the field and goes to his first read, that check down play too often. And it's just incredibly frustrating. And if something doesn't turn around soon, the Lions might have to expedite their plans at quarterback. I don't know what that is.
I think through three quarters, he's averaging 1.9 yards per attempt.
That's just unacceptable. I don't care how bad your offense is. It's unacceptable.
I mean, I'm not fully defending Goff here. He deserves a good amount of this blame, but that O-line he's playing behind has been downright trash. I mean, they've fallen apart. That like facade they put on for a couple weeks where like they've been able to like cover down on missing Decker and then Ragnow, that's just like, oh, that's gone. And he was getting harassed at a near constant. So it's hard to totally blame him for this game. And I think in this game, it's more on the O-line than him personally.
I would say.
It amplifies your worst tendencies when you have a line like that.
You're right, though. You're absolutely right. I can't let that go. And also, maybe the play calling has something to do with it. Sure. You know, maybe some plays that will be easier to run for these guys or some quick hitting stuff that they're just not doing. I don't know. It's a combination, but.
Talk all about the run game. All last pod, we're like, run game. They abandoned it earlier than they ever have in this game.
Yeah, I did not like that at all. That went against everything that we talked about in our preview for week six. I wanted them to pound it like 40 times and said they went away from it very early. Very frustrating. Because the Lions, 18 carries for 36 yards in this one. They weren't getting much on the ground. But they didn't stick with it either.
No.
They did seem like they made it a little bit more of an effort to have Goff push the ball down the field a few more.
Also,
times
in your argument, Red Dog, I want to point. I don't think the O line played as bad as you say they did. I know we had a couple penalties. That in itself is bad. But as far as the play
goes,
I know Sewell gave up a sack, but actually he graded out pretty well in this game. And if you go back and watch, the O-line wasn't that bad. It's just a lot of quick throws.
I never noticed Goff being very comfortable once.
Is that on Goff?
I don't think the O-line played as bad
as
you're saying. No, I'm putting this more on Goff after rewatching the game.
Sewell always struggles early and then seems to adjust. I think he played pretty well later on in the game.
Yeah, but anybody who's a franchise quarterback, I'm sorry, you have to make some plays. You have to pick your team up. You have to find moments where you can make something happen. He's just not doing it. And when the moments do come, he's failing to capitalize on them. So, yeah.
Hockenson, that should have been a touchdown, that one throw. I know there was debates about like a missed route or something on the wheel route, but you got
to
have
the one to Hockenson. One to Hockenson. You got to make that throw.
You have to make that throw.
Especially when there's so few and far between. Like, it's okay if you overthrow a guy every once in a while. If you're, we're all human here, but at the same time, like when it happens,
when you see
a guy open like that in this offense, so rarely when you miss it, it's amplified times 10, I feel.
And to UJ's point, it kind of bothered me how he threw Hockenson under the bus. Like, sure,
did
maybe he kind of did.
Did I miss a quote?
Yeah. Wait, how did he throw Hock under the bus? Were you just? I thought you were like making a joke about him.
He was insinuating that he was running the route incorrectly, from what I gathered.
Yeah, I miss that.
Oh,
and even if he was, you just don't talk
about
it. You don't
blast him on the air. Yeah, you don't talk about that out in public. I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm hopeful, and I'm still giving him some chances because what else can we do? But maybe his time in Detroit.
I do want to see the matchup against Stafford. And then after that, I don't care what
I want to see the Goff revenge game.
We got to see that.
Well, one thing I want to see is Decker get back in there, and I think that'll help him a lot.
Because Matt Nelson just continues to be like replacement level. He's doing what you expect a backup tackle.
Yeah, because Sewell gets beat, but at least Sewell like he can kind of make up for it in some other ways, whereas Nelson, I'm not sure is. So I'm not sure what we're going to be able to get out of that O-line without Ragnow going
actually,
forward,
the Big V did not play good in this game as far as an O-line goes, though. If you go watch some of the run blocking, which is supposed to be a specialty, like there's a couple of runs early in the game where if he just turns his guy the other way, there's a big hole there, and he just gets beat across his face where it shouldn't have happened. And that's kind of a concern. Yeah. He won't be back next year, I don't think.
That D-line whooped him.
I'd be surprised.
Bengals D-line came out ready to play and put our O-line, I think they put a, you know, what do they say that? Put a conference on or put a clinic on.
Yeah, Trey Hendrickson, he's the white DN with no gloves. He's a beast.
He was tearing it up.
I believe I said I wanted him in free agency, but knowing the Lions' strategy in free agency, that was never going to be a reality, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But a good signing for the Bengals. He's played really well for them this year. Yeah, I mean, again, the Lions wide receivers didn't do much in this game. Tom Kennedy had a catch, though. Hey, one catch for 15 yards.
Okay, wait a minute. Stop.
Tom Kennedy showing.
During
here we
the
go.
Game, I was telling Rudd Dog this.
That sounds familiar.
You got to play this kid, all right? They throw to him one time, and he gets like a 15-yard pass for a first down. If you threw him 10 times, he'd have 150 yards and 10 first downs. Because I'm telling you,
totally
this guy gets separation. These other guys are not getting any separation, which isn't helping Goff, which isn't helping anything. And just give the kid a chance.
Only 8 snaps.
Throw him a few. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. Look,
I'm telling you, he's got something. He's quick.
Working.
He's shifty. He reminds me of Amendola or Edelman, guys like that. I don't know. Just maybe because he's a little white guy. I don't know. But
you love your little white guy.
He needs more catches.
What was that running back you guys used to be a slappy for?
Zach Zenner?
He wasn't little. Zach Zenner wasn't.
Zach Zenner was solid. Guy. He was solid.
I just meant like he was short. Wasn't he short? Or no. Was that crazy?
No.
You're thinking you're thinking of Jace Billingsley.
That might be
a squad white receiver.
Yeah,
that might be who I'm thinking of. My apologies.
No, this kid's better. Kennedy, I think he's got something. I'm telling you.
Well, I think he's going to keep getting chances the way things are going with our injuries.
Yeah, so. I just want to say, though, there is a team in the NFL with more players on the IR than us. We have 13. The Ravens have 16, and they are 5-1. So it is possible.
Yeah, but it's which players, I think, is what really matters.
I mean, for them, they lost their best cornerback like we did. They lost
they have depth.
All three of their running backs. They lost their left tackle. There's a lot of similar positions they lost to ours. Yet they're 5-1, and we are 0-6.
Yeah, but they're a better built team.
Right. Well, it's an organization that
different
has won
where we're at.
But I'm just throwing out a comparison that I saw today.
Oh yeah, this is why we can't handle all these injuries in this. Like, what kind of luck can you have as like Campbell to come in and lose so many of your
when there's no depth
players
behind
so
them,
early
too.
On, just like. Out the gate, you're like already working with, you know, hardly anything, and then it just keeps getting less and less. That's makes it real hard to put too much.
I've read that Campbell's considering switching up the practice and maybe making some roster moves or depth chart moves, I guess. And I don't know about roster moves, but what do you guys want to see that will spark this offense? Is it David Blau? Is it running like a hurry up more often? What do we think? I still can't believe we haven't seen him like just come out of the gate doing like 2-minute drill right away. Just
something.
I've never understood why teams just get stuck in this. Like
they did that.
It doesn't
in the fourth quarter or third quarter this game. By the way, I just want to point that out. They did that. Early in the third or in the second half, they made the point to do in this game. But anyway, for your question, what do we want to see? Ooh, I think it's going to have to be Goff. I don't think you're going to get anything out of Blau.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like they're going to bench Goff anytime soon.
Blau has a little more mobility. That's the only thing I'll throw out there. Not a lot, but a little more.
I don't think Blau is really any better than Jared Goff.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we bench Goff. I think we just have to demand more from him. You know, and he has to give more.
I wouldn't mind.
Just tell him who cares if he's covered. Just throw it deep. For the love of God, just do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. Just start chucking it.
Man.
He needs that. He never had that Jim Schwartz, you know, keep slinging it, baby. Keep slinging it in his upbringing. So he's very trigger shy.
Well, I don't know. I was reading some stuff about Kyle Meineke wrote a nice article about Campbell after the game, and he's willing to shake things up. And he apparently he was very pissed off at the
If you watch his press conference, yeah.
And this is the first time I've seen him angry, like actually angry.
He went from tears to anger in a matter of 1 week.
Yeah. He's like all the rest of us Lions fans, crying and then furious.
Yeah, right. Very much so.
This was the game where effort wasn't. We didn't see that like biting the kneecap really in this.
Well,
game.
You know what? I thought the first half the defense
they played great.
Offense obviously didn't, and I think they were beat down by the second half. And you know, I don't want to say they gave up, but sometimes you know defense is just getting pounded on constantly. It just
it's not going to be your game when you get a pick. And then, what, two plays later, Amon-Ra St. Brown fumbles it interception, I guess, to the Bengals. But, man, it's like, come on, we can't have anything nice.
You just see what it's like when you have a bunch of good receivers who are fast and stuff. Joe Burrow, you can keep pinning them, then all it takes is one play, and suddenly they're on your 5-yard line or something like that dime he dropped on Ja'Marr Chase throwing like off balance. I mean, what can you do about that? I mean, I know it was a good play.
It's tough on the
just,
offense.
Like, it's so hard.
It's tough when there's like no. So the offense can't sustain anything, so the defense is getting shredded. I gotta say, I really like Aaron Glenn. I really like the first half. I really like Derek Barnes in this game. And I thought
one of the highest graded linebackers in the league this week.
When's the last time a Lion was like one of the top graded linebackers?
Trey Flowers is up there every once in a while. Actually, this is his worst game of the season, Trey Flowers himself. Yeah.
I thought Ali McNeil looked kind of good.
Oh, geez.
But it's just like there's only so much you can do.
Actually look really good.
Yeah.
All our young guys look really good in this game.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do as a defense.
Jerry Jacobs looked great in this game going against Chase.
Yeah.
Except for that one play that you mentioned. But overall, pretty good performance out of him.
I mean, And did you see how fast Jerry Jacobs actually is? He took a catch Chase from behind on that route, like he actually caught him. I couldn't believe, like, because Burrow dropped that dime on him and he was running free, and then Jacobs actually was able to dive and grab his
legs. I mean, shifting to the defensive side of the ball, someone I wanted to point out, he played good. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? But either way, he was horrible in this game. Jalen Reeves-Maybin, horrible.
Maybe.
You can watch the film; it's even worse. I know he got beat on that touchdown, but in the run
that
game
was the
too,
worst.
He was just completely lost.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
He didn't fill any holes. He overran it. He lacked any toughness in the run game from the linebacker position. It was brutal to go back and watch.
Maven thought he arrived after last week.
Something. Either way, it was ugly to watch his performance in this one. And for a guy that we've been rooting for to, you know.
Well, he made a big play last week.
And I thought he could have picked up a fumble this week, too. He just missed it. That would have been a big play.
Oh my God, that was a sick hit too, wasn't
Jacobs.
That? Was that a Parker? It was Parker,
right?
Parker or Jacobs? Those corner. Parker keeps coming up with all these like big hits
Jacobs.
On the perimeter, though.
Yeah,
it was Jacobs, though. Okay, well, yeah, that was a great hit to knock the ball.
I feel
out.
Like Amani's stock is down. Arare, like.
Well, he got a pick. That's nice.
He does seem to be standing in the right place when the tip ball.
Yeah, no, he did. Overall, though, I feel like he's been very up and down. I feel like we've been getting better play.
Well, there was a tip ball, I think, on that first drive that we just out of our outstretched fingers. It never falls our way.
Never. Just
that's
doesn't.
Part of
being
on the Lions, you got to overcome those things.
So I'd say it is actually this defense is having it go our way far more often than Patricia's ever did. Just in one game. I don't think we like had any turnovers last year, Patricia.
Well, that's
like,
true.
I'm just saying, so this is much more enjoyable defense to watch. Like infinitely more. Meanwhile, our offense has turned into like the most painful thing to watch. But
exactly.
At least the D is playing chippy and making plays and in turnovers.
Absolutely.
So I like seeing that.
Julian Aquara continues to look really good in the pass rush too. I think that's something that's really encouraging. Now if he can become a more all around player, like in the run game, then he'll take his game to a whole nother level. But it's at least in the pass rush, you know, he's doing what we thought he could do. Now if he could become even more elite, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. I know talking about pass rush, but just to kind of slightly deviate, but Did you guys see the Sunday night game last night? TJ Watt kind of take over the fourth quarter in overtime. Just make me sad that we picked Jerod Davis over him. We all did. We all really liked him. Nobody, we barely even talked about Jerod Davis. And then, oh, it's just so frustrating. But maybe, you know, maybe if TJ Watt comes to the Lions, he never has the career he has either. Yeah. So.
True. Right. For all you people who enjoy foot to leather, Jack Fox put on kind of a punting clinic there today or yesterday.
What did the Lions call him? Like the
first one, or
they called him like a downfield specialist or something on Twitter? Some ridiculous title.
I mean, his first one or two were so, but then he started booming them, man. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Another little side note is that Charles Harris, who now is our leader in sacks, was the next pick after Jerod Davis.
Was he really?
We're just trying him out. Maybe eventually we'll get to TJ Watt. Just try out all the guys after Jerod Davis. Yeah, he was the next pick at 22 to Miami. And now he's actually showing first round talent. So see, sometimes the karma comes around. Like, he's finally showing his potential with us.
Right.
So that's not,
and I saw him
bad.
In coverage a couple times in this game. He drafted coverage 4 times in this
game.
He
was. I noticed that.
Which is interesting wrinkle.
He didn't get a sack today, though.
Yeah.
He broke his streak.
No, I did not. Trey Flowers was in coverage 4 times, too. I don't know if I like that going forward necessarily, but because he got beat those couple times.
How many years left we got on that Flowers contract?
I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up.
I'm going to look that up while we're talking.
All right, yeah, you go ahead and look that up. Over the cap should have it.
Thanks for letting us know.
If you want an example of what a dominant wide receiver can do for your offense, though, look no further than what Ja'Marr Chase is doing for this Bengals offense this year. They had good receivers, but he's a top 5 receiver, and he's taking it to a whole different level this year for sure.
Signed through 2023, just to quickly project.
I know we're not supposed to talk about the draft yet. It's only week 7.
No, talk about the Lions, it. There's one player we all want.
But the Lions they would have number 1 pick if the season ended today. And more interestingly, actually, is that the Eagles would have 3 of the top 10 picks if the season ended today. Because when they made the trade with the 49ers, when the 49ers traded up to get Trey Lance, the 49ers traded away the Dolphins pick or something like that, I believe. There's like so many trades. Oh, no. So they made a trade with the Colts for Carson Wentz. They have their first rounder. That's number 10. The Eagles right now would be number 7. And then number 9 is the Dolphins, I believe.
Yeah, they traded for a receiver, right?
And when the Dolphins traded up, the Eagles traded back because the Dolphins traded up to get Jalen Waddle. The Dolphins traded their pick instead of the 49ers.
You need to write a dissertation about this.
So the Dolphins put their money on themselves instead of the 49ers, and now they're getting screwed for it.
I'm really glad.
And also the Jets have 2 top 10.
Yeah.
So
that'll be us in a couple
teams
years.
Have 5 of the top 10. Anyways.
I'm excited about that Oregon D end. If we can get him.
Kayvon Thibodeau, if you haven't looked him up, at the very least, go watch his most recent game against the California, where he was just unbelievable. He's just throwing around people like a ragdoll.
He's a cheat code.
He fires off the ball like you rarely see. I'm curious what these scouts say when we get into it a little more, if he's like a Chase Young type. But I don't want to get too much into draft because we'll have so much time to talk about it in the future. But it's hard not to when you're 0-6 and you're the number 1 draft pick right now.
The only team that's 0-6, by the way.
Yeah. Yes, even the Jaguars won. Yeah. We have to go to London. See, weird stuff happens over there.
See, the problem is we can't start talking about draft now because what do we have to talk about when the season's over?
The draft still.
We're already talking about all the draft stuff. Well, we can't oversaturate the draft stuff now. You got to still cling to the fact that they're alive.
I know. And we still enjoy that. We still enjoy our Sundays.
Do your Zen.
Although I will say this, I texted you guys during this game. This is like one of the more boring Lions games I've watched in a while, just because the offense is so boring. When you're throwing it 2 yards every time, and then you're
Well, in this game, in this case, you're getting 2 yards a carry.
Hawk had one.
Next
nice
week's going to be so much fun, regardless of how we play.
It will be interesting to see, Stafford on the other.
We'll talk next pod about that, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk next pod about that.
Watch us destroy them.
I promised one of our listeners that I would convince the world that we're going to win next week, so.
I think they should put Stenberg in there just to
at least make UJ happy, right?
We want Aaron Donald.
It would make me very happy. Move Big V to right tackle. Put Stenberg in there and get
Matt Nelson.
Nelson out of there. Yeah, get Nelson out of there.
Well, we'll see. We'll see when Decker comes back. What happens there? But I wouldn't mind seeing Stenberg in there over Big V. I don't think Big V is part of the future.
No,
and the way he's playing doesn't encourage a. Taking his player option in the future. Yeah.
It's also going to be fun seeing what Campbell does. You know, he's not afraid to mix things up. And
I hope not.
It'll be
he's
really
got
interesting
to.
To
he's
0-6.
I mean,
no, I know. But you know what? Some coaches would, I don't know. Like Patricia was in trouble all the time, too. And he kept sticking to his guns saying, oh, it's going to, this guy, he's not messing around. I don't think he's going to, I think he might even mess around with the coaching staff a little bit or try to get them to do it. It's not just on the players, you know, it's on the coaches too. So
he's a part of that.
It will be interesting.
I'm curious what ownership and what Brad Holmes like thinks looking at all this right now.
I think
like are they sticking to the plan, you think, or you think anything's changed
now? I absolutely. I mean, there's a reason that Campbell and Brad Holmes got 6-year deals when they came over here.
They knew this wasn't going to happen in 1 year.
Right.
That's true.
Our better judgment, but
and
our Kool-Aid.
You're right. Obviously, coaching might be able to improve, but it's clear that the real problem is just the talent on the field right now, and that's where
I mean, this team should probably be 3-3. This is the ugliest game of them all so far, but probably definitely should have beat the Ravens.
Yeah.
A 5-1 team, tie for number one seed in the AFC.
That was uncanny. Definitely.
Should have beat the Vikings. I mean, Greg Joseph missed a couple kicks this week. You're like, oh, thanks a lot. You could have done that last week.
What's our third fictional win?
The Bears.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fictional win. I like that. I do like that.
I mean,
I like that.
I don't know about the Bears. That
so
Bears
we're 3-3.
Yeah. I'm with the Red Dog.
I
like
their fictional wins. Reality.
The fictional Lions have never lost a Super Bowl in my head. That's a fun fact for you.
Yeah.
No.
That's true. The real Lions.
That's true.
So.
I think really no seriously I know this is so bad we've been talking about this a lot and it's probably gonna a lot more the rest of the season goes on but. We have to look at this in the big picture and see what the coaches are doing and just kind of look at it from that aspect and see if they're doing things in the right direction. And some of these kids are coming along. I think if we're true fans who are looking in the future, that's what we have to look at right now. Watch progress from these young guys, which is really exciting. Some of these young guys and see what the coaches come up with and how they motivate.
Absolutely.
That's really what it's going to be about.
Only way to get through this season is going to be with some.
I
got to
say, Brad Holmes drafting is looking really good so far. And it really has me excited.
Yeah, it's
so
very encouraging. Yeah, very encouraging. Even the undrafted free agents like Jacobs.
Because, like,
some good finds.
During the Patricia era, like a couple games in, you'd be like, I don't know about this guy. But I'm not getting that impression this year. So that's good.
I mean, Quinn did give us Becker and Rag now. So there's.
No. I know.
Second rounders.
I'm not saying he didn't draft well at all. I'm just saying, like, you never had that impression that, like, there was a great plan with this draft.
Right.
He drafted, didn't he hit a couple mid rounders?
Kenny Galladay is probably his best mid rounder.
Like,
Kenny Galladay. You're right, Connor. It seems like these guys have more of a vision and a plan. Whereas Quinn, I don't know if he had that long term vision.
He had the long term vision. That was the Patriot way.
It was just a bad vision. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. The Patriot way without Tom Brady has missed the playoffs and is 2-4 this year. So, maybe that's because they brought Matt Patricia back over there. I don't know.
That's true. They got to get rid of him.
Oh boy.
Well,
Oh boy.
Well, I don't know if Is there much more to expound on for this game?
Not really.
Every team has a bad
game.
Least
silver lining so
but when
far.
Your talent's as bad as the Lions, it's going to look even worse.
Why do we seem to have the most of O'Connor?
Our bag.
Because we have a really bad roster.
Our bad games are
rookie coaches.
We're just in a different part of the spectrum. Our good games are when we're close to winning.
Yeah.
Our bad games are when we're not close to winning. We don't know
what's
what
the last
like.
Time
when we win. That's
yeah.
going to be like
I'm trying
our
to think. When's the last
games.
Time we like handily won a game, like where we just dominated the team from beginning? The Patriots against
Lord,
Patricia.
Patriots
that's the last game I can
Patricia.
Think of. That was
yeah,
like 3 years
that was
ago.
Kind of, wasn't there,
that was
kind week of a
three
close
of the season.
Game. Wasn't there a Packers? Wasn't there a Packers game?
Oh, that one Packers
yeah,
Monday
I think
night
that was like
game.
A week.
You and Big, you were, and I were at Big
Green
Z.
Bay.
Yeah, and I think the one you're thinking of, UJ, was like a week 17 game where both teams were out of the playoff race.
Yeah.
I'm looking.
Is there weren't many.
I'm looking at our schedule. We won 34-16 no. over Jacksonville last year in Jacksonville.
Oh,
I'll take
whoa,
that.
Yeah.
I'll accept that.
That was probably the because we
my
had a good
there.
One from beginning to end.
I'll accept that. All right.
We actually
yeah,
well, dominated
the,
team
the
last
worst
year?
Team in the NFL.
I will
it's
say
it's hard to believe. Like,
I think we can dominate the Eagles. I think we can do it. I don't think we can dominate the Rams.
What about Jacksonville?
I'll say that up front. But the Eagles, I think we have a good shot against them for our first win.
Yeah, we're at the Rams. Then we are home against Philadelphia. Then we have a bye week.
We won't lose over the bye week. I can guarantee that. That's kind of already guaranteed.
No, that's usually a Detroit Lions fans, one of their best weeks of the year. We don't lose. We always win the bye week.
Be careful. Then we're going to get, like, some news that, like, they lost someone to, like, tap dancing lessons or something. Like, Joseph Foria running around his house chasing his dog or something.
Right.
Oh, well.
Well, yeah. What are you going to do?
Hey, there's hope, okay? Still 11 games left. We can go 11-6. I mean, that's a thing.
Red Dog, you got to say that one thing to end this pod. Like that
makes us all like, yeah.
Oh, time to end it.
I did want to mention briefly that one of the tweets that I had during the game had a little traction. And again, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. But I said if the Lions had like Calvin Johnson, Randy Moss, and DeAndre Hopkins, Jared Goff would still check it down to the running back in this offense.
Oh, geez.
He totally would. That's.
I mean, yeah. Maybe that's not true, but it makes
Goff
me feel
would
way.
Not
I
throw in
game.
A triple coverage with Calvin Johnson, I'll tell you.
I don't think he would.
Goff would not do that.
No.
Oh, boy.
A lot of oh, boys, a lot of oh, a lot of shrugs.
On yeah. that note.
But is there Kool-Aid left in the
there's
the
always
pitcher?
Kool-Aid to be found.
There is Kool-Aid.
A new batch being distilled.
It tastes a lot like whiskey and moonshine.
I think we need as much Kool-Aid as humanly possible to get through the next 11 games.
Yeah, for you fans out there watching,
hey.
I do recommend drinking heavily.
Kool-Aid, of course.
I think
drinking Kool-Aid, of course.
Well, yes. We will always
have to
be
watch
here to
this
fill
team
your cup
responsibly.
With under Kool-Aid. A different... Tell it like microscope. You got to watch for the young guys. You got to watch for the coaches. Don't watch
yeah,
for
content.
This miraculous 11-6 turnaround because you might be disappointed.
Every game is a new game, Connor.
That's
true.
Every game is a new game.
You know, what's to stop us from winning the next 11 games?
The 11 teams are playing against
and
ourselves.
Then the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty good thing. That's pretty formidable. But, you know, maybe we'll come together and slay those dragons and win.
Yeah.
Become the heroes for Detroit. That's
on that
do.
Note.
You,
nah, nah,
you heard
no,
it here
we should
first.
Make a t-shirt that says, on that note, dot, 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 drinking the blue Kool-Aid on the back. I would buy it.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. We'll wrap it up here. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter. As mentioned before, at Drinking Lions, please follow us on there. Please, you know, message us, comment just what your thoughts are about this team going forward, maybe Goff's performance. Do we need that quarterback change? I don't know. Let us know. And then Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, please subscribe, please download, and please leave a review. We always greatly appreciate it. Otherwise, gentlemen, the Lions will be on the road next week on next Sunday. That's a 3:05 Central, 4:05 Eastern game. 1:05 Pacific, I guess, if you want to go there, since they will be on the West Coast. I don't know if anybody's going.
Should we all fly out to LA?
Lions fans are going to the game.
I got a flight credit if you guys
want to
fly out.
Jet set, baby. Let's do it.
For the game.
I don't know about that LA traffic, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That stadium
looks awesome. That does look awesome.
It does.
Looks amazing.
It's like a, $1 billion stadium or something?
More than
I think $5 billion or something like that.
Because it's like there's we'll talk about more in the next. But they have like shopping and another concert hall there and stuff. It's like more than just a stadium around.
Maybe we got to tear down Ford Field. Maybe that's the solution.
It is cool how the
maybe. Well, they tried it with the Silver Dome. It didn't work. Actually, the Silver Dome had a playoff victory in it, and we tore that down.
True.
So
the house that Barry built.
You know, Detroit is kind of due for a new stadium because. We were like one of the first to convert to like the modern era of like these stadium arena type things. I feel like
since the early 2000s, right? Like 2002 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how fast these things become obsolete. Nowadays.
UJ,
were you a fan of the Silver Dome? I never got to see it. Like,
I'm not saying I was a super fan of it, but I went to several games there, but, it was unique. It was unique, and you know, I was like,
it was loud.
I was going to those games, and it was always cool to go there.
And
yeah,
if
it was
you go
very
back
loud,
and watch those,
loud
that
stadium.
Old film,
get hit by that wind as you walk in the door.
It held like 80,000 people.
Yeah, it was bigger.
It was really a big place, and no, it was cool. And you saw Barry Sanders running there, so that was
I will
cool.
say
on the carpet.
I'm glad they're back in the city, though.
That really,
I didn't like them being in Pontiac location wise.
No,
right. No, it is cool where they have it. So,
we still have to pull the magic, like the duo of seeing a Lions game.
Yeah, all Detroit stadiums are within walking distance of each other. I don't know if any other cities have that. It's really cool, actually.
I think Cleveland
is
like that.
It is.
Where they have the basketball, the baseball,
it's just
football right next to
Comerica and Fort Field are directly across the street from each other.
Right.
Right. Detroit should those teams should work together to actually schedule it so it's a possibility because it's so rare where you can do that actually and watch.
I had a Tigers game the day before the Lions opener, but not the same day. I don't know if that's possible.
All right, gentlemen.
Anyways,
well, the same weekend.
I think that'll end it here. But thank you.
On that note.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Go
Lions! Go Lions!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock! Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and game.